CPC, happy new year. It is happy to be in a new year, but remember, we never put our hope in a new year. Our hope is in Jesus. So let's talk about him. Are you in? Are you excited to talk about Jesus in the new year to get our minds maybe off of the year for just a moment? And let's get our eyes upon Jesus. In fact, let's pray. Let's open our hearts. I don't know what you feel when I say that phrase, let's open our hearts. Maybe you're confused. What in the world does that mean? Or you're excited and expectant and ready for whatever the Lord may have for you. No matter where you're at, it's God that does the softening of our hearts to open our hearts. So let's join him in that pursuit that he might speak a word to us as we enter into this new year with him. Because church, we don't have to do this new year on our own. Will you pray with me? Whew, Heavenly Father, here we are. I pray, Lord, that now before you, as we're aware of you, thinking about you, praying, God, would you right now do what only you can do and begin to soften our hearts for your word, for your news, for your gospel. I thank you for those in this church, Lord, who have faithfully served you and loved you for decades. I just honor them in this prayer and thank you for the work you've done in their lives. I pray for those who are presently wrestling in faith. God, would you do a work? Would you speak directly to their soul? So right now, would they open their heart? I know I'm sure that's a little bit nerve-wracking, God, to open their lives to you right now. So would you do that? Lord, would you prepare them to open their hearts? And I pray for the person that's expectant, excited. Bless them, Lord, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. I hope you're excited because today I get to share really good news. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ to kick off 2022, the gospel is good news, not good advice. See, good advice is what you should do. Someone gives you advice, it's here's what you should do in light of your life. News, though, is not advice. News is what's already been done. That actually changes and transforms your approach to whatever you're doing. I got engaged to be married 10 and a half years ago, and I remember everyone coming up and asking all the questions about all the things, all the plans, all of that, and I remember starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed and anxious. Maybe you can relate. Entering into 2022. I see you. But I remember not knowing what to do with all the questions because I wasn't a great planner. But then someone said, but have you asked your bridesmaids? And I said, now that one sounds fun. So I remember going to my sister and I'm like, Kim. And she's like, I'm like, will you be my maid of honor? And she's like, oh, yes. I'm like, okay, bye. You know, and then I went to my next friend and same thing. Will you? It's great. I have great friends. And then I remember going back to my sister and saying, hey, Kim, there's one more person I want to be in my wedding, but it's not like traditional. She said, oh no, who is it? I said, well, it's Nanny. Now, let me give you context to Nanny. Nanny is my 94-year-old grandmother. She is fresh off the boat from England. She came over, actually not fresh, came over on the Queen Mary's last voyage into Long Beach, where I live. She has the thick English accent. She quite literally drinks tea at a certain time during the day. She calls it tea time. And she always communicates to me, Megan, your to-go cups communicate that you're ready to go. My tea set communicates that I'm here to stay and be present with you. I'm like, oh, she's so great. But she says it in an English accent, which is even better. So I remember going to her house that day and, you know, knock, 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 ready to ask. And eventually she gets to the door and I said, Nanny! And she entered the door. We have this really fun relationship. And she's like, hey. And I'm like, do you want to go to breakfast? She's like, of course. Let me get my coat. You know, so she gets her coat. And then we get walking to the car, I can still remember it. And on our walk to the car, she stops me and she's like, wait. I said, yes. She goes, I'll race you. Oh, Nanny, she didn't realize I had my fast shoes on. So we started walking to the car, and you know, there she is.
just to give you a picture of my nanny. Then she ever so slowly just starts to cut me off.
So what I did, it was so good.
I tripped her and she fell hard. I'm kidding.
Some of you were like, yeah.
No, nanny.
But I did win. We get to breakfast and it took me an hour to convince her that I wasn't kidding. She said, her response was, I guess it's the first 94-year-old bridesmaid I'd ever heard of. And I was like, yes.
Now that story enters into the new story, and like a lot of life, a harder story, because it was in August that she said yes, and it was in September that she had her stroke. And I remember when she had her stroke, having one of those days, you know, the days where nothing else seems to matter. I've had a lot of those days. Have you? And I remember at the time we went to the hospital, we all met up at the hospital, and she was stable, but she didn't look stable. And so we all kind of went off to do our things, and we were all going to meet back the very next day because there wouldn't be any test results, but she was going to be stable. So we all went, and I remember at the time I was teaching at Azusa Pacific University, and I was teaching my class, and I had my notes, and I looked at my notes, and then I looked at my students, and they were all just walking in like it was just another day, and it just wasn't. You know those days. See, we're entering into this new season, 2022, and yet I don't know where your heart and soul are at. That particular day, I can remember, I'm thinking back, I can remember thinking the little things didn't seem to matter. And I remember I took my notes. I looked at my students, I took my notes. Then I proceeded to throw my notes, and I said, forget that. And the reason I remember that, okay, here it is. The reason I remember that is because the girl in the front row said, do we write that down? No, God. Do you know God? Do you know God intimately, personally? See, I have a feeling I'm not the only one that maybe grew up going to church and have known a lot about God over the years and maybe struggled to know him intimately, personally, or maybe even struggled to let him know me intimately, personally. In fact, how is that time when it's just you and the Lord? Would you describe it with words like intimate and personal? And by the way, I ask not to guilt, I ask to invite you into something new in 2022. Why not? But that day, I remember looking at my students and leaning in and going, here's the deal. I need someone to stand up and give me good news. Because I know God, but I also know that life is hard. Anyone else? And if gospel means good news, I want to know how the good news collides with hard lives. Because that's how I want to enter into 2022. How about you? And so that day in class, I'm like, someone stand up and give me the gospel. Anyone, someone stand up. And at that point, they're like, I'm like, come on, someone's here. And I started calling on their names. Sarah. She's like, I'm like, that's right. I know. It's weird. I know. Jackie. Kathy. By the way, what if I called on you? What in the world would you say? The good news of Jesus and how it's good news for me, good news for you. Is it good news? Because I think that's what we need entering into 2022 is good news. I don't need to give you a bunch of advice on what to do. A lot of us already know what to do. I just want to give you news about what's already been done in case you don't do any of the things you're supposed to do anyways. I remember asking my students to stand. They didn't that day. It was must have been a crazy day. But then I remember going, pulling out my Bible and finding this back right here, because a long time ago, someone stood on a stage and gave me these seven verses. And I didn't know where else to go, but I knew the good news was there. So if you have your Bibles and you long to enter into 2022 in light of the good news of the gospel of Jesus, turn with me, Romans chapter 1. And it begins like this. See, Romans, as you guys are all turning there, Romans is written by a guy named Paul. Paul has a past. Paul is transformed by the power of the gospel. And that reminds me of something as we're turning to Romans, and it's this. God can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants, whenever he wants to do that thing. So don't count yourself out this morning from whatever God wants to do. And what he does through Paul in the book of Romans is he does a sweeping overview of the entire story. People have referred to this as the Romans road, this road we have that tells us the truth, the good news of the gospel. And he begins in the very beginning because that's where the good news begins. And it starts right here. Chapter 1, verses 19 to 21 says this, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world," so he goes all the way back to the beginning, "since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." Did you catch that? Since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been seen. How? Oh, we read on. "Having been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse." In other words, creation screams creator. Everything that has been created was created on purpose, with a purpose. That includes you. And our purpose is meant to scream creator, because we are created. But what happened? What went wrong? Verse 25 says this, "They," that's humanity, "exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator who is forever praised." And before we blame they, turn to chapter 3, verse 23. So if you're taking notes, chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Now we're on to chapter 3, verse 23, and it says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Some of you, it's really easy to go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I know I'm part of the all that has fallen short. And I think there's another weird audience here. You ready for it? Because it was me. And I relate to it because it was me. I looked around and I compared myself and thought, oh, I'm not that bad. So I hear all have fallen short and I'm like, yeah, they have. You too. But what does it mean to have fallen short? It means that there's a standard and it's perfection, and we all have fallen short of it. So there's a gap. And in order to be in a perfect right relationship, right, in a right relationship is righteousness. In order to be in a relationship, a personal, intimate relationship with a holy and perfect God, the standard was perfect, yet we all fall short. That would be a really sad story and definitely not good news if we stopped there. So turn with me. It gets good. Chapter 5, verse 8 says this. "But God." These words are all throughout the scriptures and it's good news and I hope you hear it as such. God butts into the story. But God, see, left to ourselves, we just all fall short. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died." I love that it says, "But God," what's the next word, church? "Demonstrates." Some of you didn't say it out loud, so we're just gonna do it again. I know it's a video, I know we're figuring this out. Here, you guys ready? Here, we're gonna do it again, ready? "But God demonstrates," there it is, "his love." Have you ever met someone that says that they love, but then they don't act in loving ways? Not our God. See, our God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, falling short, making our lives about ourselves, thinking predominantly about ourselves, selfishness at our core, trying to do life on our own, be enough, do enough, God butts into the story and demonstrates his love for us there. On your worst day and on your best. Thinking that sometimes I would convince myself that my best day made me enough for him, that made me good enough, perfect standard. And I had that standard myself, perfection. Yet I kept falling short of that. And then I had to try to live up to a false version of myself that looked perfect. It's exhausting, isn't it? He demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Here's a question for you. Why did he have to die? Ever wonder that? We can go a lot of different directions with that question, but why did he have to die? Paul answers it this way, chapter 6, verse 23. If you're taking notes, chapter 1, 19 to 21, 3, 23, 5, 8, 6, 23 says this. For the wages, before we move on, wages means what? You work a job, you earn a wage. It's what you earn. The wages of sin, so what we've earned is death. That one hits hard. It's what we earn. But not just a physical death. Here's the harder reality of that sentence. The wages of sin is death, not just physical death, and that's hard enough. But also spiritual death. The wages of sin, what we earn is a spiritual death, which is a separation from God. That's what we earn. We earn to be very, our life, when you add up our life, it's not good enough. I hear this a lot. Oh, I'm just trying to be good enough. I'm just trying to live a good life. No, you can't live a good life enough. Because the standard is perfection and we've all fallen short. And the wages of falling short is death, separation from God. Here it is again. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. And here we find the gospel. See, in order to be in a right relationship, a perfect relationship with a perfect and holy God, the standard is perfection, yet we all fell short. And because the only one that could live up to God's perfect standard is God, God sent himself. Fully God, fully man. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Coming right off of it. He came to us. He moved toward us. He lived that perfect life we didn't. And then he died the death we deserve. He who knew no sin became sin. How? That we might become the righteousness of Christ. That we might have a right relationship through him. See, here's what it is. We deserve death. Jesus earned life and an intimate, perfect relationship with the Father. Jesus came, lived the life we didn't, died the death we deserve. In other words, he died the death we deserve. He took the consequence we deserved and then gifts us eternal life. He gifts us that which he deserved. You see, because he didn't just die. He died on a cross for our sins, and on the third day he rose, proving two things. Number one, Jesus is God. And number two, he has the power to make dead things alive. And that is our hope. And the wages of our sin is death, which means he has the power to make us alive again. And this is the idea that's really been blowing my mind lately. It's called double imputation. I don't know if note takers, there you go. If not, just move on. Here we go. Here's what it is. That scripture I gave you, he who knew no sin became sin. See, Jesus came. He who knew no sin became sin. My sin is imputed onto him on the cross. But double imputation, as if that's not good enough, that I am fully forgiven in him. When I put my faith and trust, not in my ability to be good enough, but in trusting that that's why Christ came for me. My sin is imputed onto him. You are forgiven in Christ the moment you believe all past, present, future sin. Hallelujah. He who knew no sin became sin. But here's the double part. That we might become the righteousness of Christ. See, my sin was imputed onto him, and his righteousness by grace through faith is imputed onto us. He who knew sin became sin that we might become righteous in his eyes, that we might stand in him and not in ourselves. He took that which we deserve, and by grace through faith, we receive that which he deserved. That is how the Apostle Paul, in so many of the passages in the New Testament, goes off and says, in Christ you are holy, blameless, set apart. In Christ you are saved. In Christ you are the dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. In Christ, and he goes off, this is who you are, this is who you are, this is who you are. You are not predominantly what you have done or what you will do or any past mistake or any of your successes. That's not who you are at your core. At your core you are in Christ, which means at your core, one day you will stand before the Father and he will look at you and he will not just see your whole life, which he knows. He will look at you and he will see his Son because you now stand before him in Christ. Christ. Are you catching it? Christian, let me speak to you for a second. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, let me tell you this. One day you will stand before the Father and he will look at you and say, well done and holy, accepted. Everything that Jesus is, you are in him. Listen to those words over you, accepted. Not just forgiven, accepted. So Christian, in 2022, I wonder if it's time for us to live like it's true because it is. Can you imagine walking into a job interview already believing I am accepted before they call you back or don't? Can you imagine going to work out knowing who you already are? I am accepted, I am loved, I am set apart, I am everything in Christ. Now, for those of you maybe who have never put your faith and trust in Jesus, or someone maybe who did it long ago and you're wondering, how do you know that you're in him? Good, here, hold on a second. We keep on going. Here's what we can know. Chapter 8, verse 1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation. Some of you just need to know the truth about the decision you made a long time ago. There is now no condemnation for those who are, here it is, in Christ Jesus. If I were to read on, I mean, I could read on forever. Because through Christ Jesus, what Jesus has done, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death, not in and of yourself, in through Christ. For what the law was power, I could keep going. Just read Romans 8. You're welcome. That'll start 2022 off well. But what do you do if you're sitting there going, how do I know? Chapter 10, verse 9 says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved and you will be found in him. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and that's a direct contrast to you being Lord of your life. It's by declaring, I have not done enough to be perfect, but I trust that the perfect one has come on my behalf. Jesus is Lord. He died the death I deserve. Jesus is Lord. He resurrected, and I'm going to follow his lead. Jesus is Lord. He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, which is where he's at today. Jesus is Lord. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You are saved. You are being saved. God is doing that work in you. It continues on, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. How are you justified before the Father? In Christ. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him, not anyone who believes in themselves. No, no, no. Hear the contrasting message of our culture. Anyone who believes and puts their trust in him and his finished work. The good news is the work has already been accomplished. You can stop running to achieve what Christ has already accomplished on your behalf. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. So let me tell you this. Live like it's true now because it is. So in the name of Jesus, can I say this? A lot of people use this phrase, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. In the name of Jesus, here I am, 2022, you ready? Shame off you. So how do you live? In response, chapter 12, verse 1, therefore,
And anytime you read therefore, you want to figure out what it's there for, right? Chapter 1, God created everything for his glory. Chapter 3, we messed it up. Chapter 5, but God demonstrates his own love. Chapter 6, why did he die? The wages of sin is death. Chapter 8, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Chapter 10, what do you do? Confess Jesus, Lord, it's not you. You don't have to be Lord of your life anymore. You can give your life over to him, and then you get to receive his life as your own. Therefore, I urge you, and I do too. We, I'll add it, me and Paul, urge you, brothers and sisters. So at that moment, brothers and sisters, those are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in view of God's mercy, not getting what you deserve, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll make a difference in the world by being different than the world in 2022. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, Chapter 12, and really the rest of the book of Romans, he does give a lot of advice. Here's how to live like it's true, live like it's true, live like it's true. But I love there's this little part in there that says, in view of God's mercy, in other words, in view of what God's already accomplished, in view of the news that you really are, because of Christ's finished work on the cross, you really are in him forgiven. In the words of Queen Elsa, let it go. Let it go. Some of you are carrying what's been done in 2021 into 2022, and I'm here to tell you, confess it, you are free. He will forgive you. He is forgiving you. He is transforming you. Don't do this life on your own or enter into 2022 missing out on the gift of his presence and his love. How are you entering into 2022? Is it about all the things you're planning to do? Maybe. It's not bad to make plans. It's not bad to have goals. It's actually really wonderful. But I'm here not to tell you that you should do a bunch more. I'm here to tell you what's already been done. And what's already been done can transform everything you're planning to do. Because suddenly everything you're planning to do no longer has to be about you. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are accepted. In Christ, you are loved. If you've never responded with a yes, today's your day. Entering into 2022 with new life in you through him. Are you ready? God's been doing a work on your heart, I have a feeling, for a long time. There's someone in this room I know listening into this video whose heart is pounding. It's time to say yes and to respond. And maybe all you know is that you need Jesus and you have no clue what it looks like to live this life out, to do all the shoulds. And I'm here to tell you, this message is not about the shoulds. It's about what's already been done. It's all about the news. And our simple response is yes. And if that is you, we're going to have people available that want to sit with you, that want to know you, that want to meet up with you in future weeks and talk about what it looks like to live out a responsive yes. But really what it means is to hand over your life over to the one who already handed his life over to yours. Anything Jesus asks of us is something he's already given to us. We just follow his lead. And then we get the promise of forever with him. See, if you want God here and now, you get him forever. Do you remember my grandmother? She did walk down the aisle at my wedding. We got her right here. Cute, huh? I love her. That was her at 94. She passed at 99. And I remember when we all sat around the table, 10 days shy of her 100th birthday, we sat there, my mom said, she didn't want to be 100. She thought that was old. But I don't show you the picture to say, look, and then the story was wrapped in a bow and it was sweet. Let me tell you about what happened after the wedding. See, after the wedding, I started to hang out with my grandmother on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday. And I'll tell you, if you're a 20-something or a 30-something or a 40-something and you're finding yourself kind of inconsistent in your faith or maybe hurried in your life, find your own nanny. There's a lot of them here in this place that would love to sit down and coffee and just listen to your life. Nanny showed me a lot about life, and I'll tell her one of the best gifts of Nanny was her pace of life. This church is beautiful because of the intergenerational nature of it. Take advantage of it. Don't miss the gift. Not a lot of churches have this gift. But I started visiting her on every Tuesday. And we would hang out, and I'd, you know, wheel her at this point to the local park, and we'd hang out every Tuesday. And one particular Tuesday stood out among the rest because I remember walking in, and she was crying. And I'm like, Nanny, oh, Nanny, why are you crying? And she looked at me and said something really honest. She said, Megan, I thought I was living for your wedding. I'm not quite sure why I'm still here. And in my mind, I knew one of two things. Either she didn't know the hope before her, or she did. But there's also this third weird option of maybe she did know the hope that was before her. Maybe she did know heaven, but she didn't know the purpose in today. And no matter where she was at and no matter where you're at today, there's hope. There's good news. And so I remember looking at her and going, and this is weird because it's my grandmother. I've sat beside her in church my entire life, but we never really had conversations about faith or trusting in Jesus or about heaven or anything in the future. And we just never talked about those sort of things. But I knew by her question, why am I still even alive today? I knew she had lost her purpose in today. The gospel had maybe affected her eternity, but maybe it hadn't affected her today. And so I remember going, Nanny, I have to tell you a story. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, do you remember when you had your stroke? She said, thanks for bringing it up. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on. And I ran to my car and I pulled out this. I said, I don't know where my nanny was at. But the truth is, you don't ever move on past the gospel. You just go deeper into it. And I don't know if this was the first time she really understood it, but she did. And here's what I shared. I looked at her. I said, Nanny, can I tell you about the story of my class? And I did. And then we got to Genesis chapter 1. God created everything. She's like, yeah. I was like, okay, do you know sin, what that is? Chapter 3. And she said, oh, is it the fact that I'm really selfish? I said, yes. She goes, I always feel bad about that. But God, in the middle of your selfish nanny, he demonstrates his love for you. While you're still a sinner, Christ died for you. Why'd he die? The wages of our sin is death. We deserve to be very far. She goes, sometimes I feel very far. I was like, oh, good news, nanny, nothing can separate you from God's love. But chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now I'll tell you, I can stand in front of you, CBC, and share the good news of the gospel, no problem. But standing in front of my grandmother, I remember feeling so scared and terrified. I'm like, Nanny, what do you think? And she looked up to me and she said, I believe that. But I don't understand that. And then we continued on the power of the gospel. And we kept talking, we kept praying, we kept walking through these verses. And with tears in her eyes, she said, there's purpose for today, not just purpose for forever. I'm like, there's purpose for today. And she said, okay, what do we do? I said, oh, we pray. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've ever given your life over to Jesus or you're just going, what do we do right now? What do we do, 2022? What do? We pray. And I'm gonna pray the exact same prayer I heard my nanny pray 10 and a half years ago. Because she then stopped right before she prayed. She goes, wait. I'm like, no, the time is now. She's like, no. I don't know what to say. I said, Nanny, you just have to be honest. This whole faking prayer thing, prayer's not a place to be good. Prayer is a place to be honest. And she was. She said, dear God, I'm so selfish. But Megan says that's why you sent Jesus, to forgive me of that and everything else. You are Lord. And then she said something so powerful. She said, God, help me love people first, not because they deserve it, but because I'm now realizing I never did. See, she had shared with me that day that she thought her life was about sitting in her chair and waiting to be loved. And understanding the power of the gospel, trusting that she was loved first, gave her the power to love other people first in the same way she's been loved. anything God does in us is never meant to stop with us. It's always meant to go through us. So church, in 2022, let's live the good news we've received. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray the same prayer. God, we are so selfish. But I thank you that we can be honest about that before you, knowing full well that we will be met with love and forgiveness. So right now, I pray over CPC. I pray right now as we open ourselves up to you in our selfishness, in our awareness of ourselves, I pray right now that we would let ourselves be loved by you. And for those, Lord, who haven't given their life, I pray that they would take the next step today as they make announcements after this to talk about what to do next. I pray, Lord, that they would take that step. Lord, would you right now put on their heart just to take one step? And I thank you, Lord, that Nanny is with you for all of eternity. And I thank you for the promise of heaven. We long to be with you more. And in the meantime, Lord, help us be aware of the fact that you're already with us, we pray. And all God's children said, amen.